Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just bless our hearts with your Spirit. Lord, may the Spirit feel free course to move, to speak, to touch, to draw, to open our hearts more and more, to open our eyes more and more to the Word of God as you see it, as you wrote it, as you understand it to be compared to our understanding. And Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, of course, we're in chapter 19 of Genesis, but we had stopped. We were sharing in Matthew 11, 27 through 30, and I think we finished that last class. But we're going to go to Luke, and of course, what we're doing is we're going to New Testament scriptures that relate to the story that we've landed upon in Genesis, in relationship to Lot, in relationship to Abraham, talking to the Godhead, in relationship to the Godhead going there. So this is Jesus's take. He's the one speaking these things. And of course, he was one of the three there. A lot of times we don't really, that doesn't factor into our reading, our searching or whatever, but, you know, Jesus was there and Jesus is here. And so this is in Luke 17. Did I tell you what chapter? Luke 17. And we'll begin at verse 28. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. And he's going to, you know, in the same day that Lot went out, okay, is the next words. Basically, he's showing that their lives are totally out of tune with the Lord, out of tune with the times, out of tune with what is about to happen the next day, if you will. And he's speaking this while he's on the earth 2,000 years ago when this situation happened 6,000, 7,000 years ago. And he's still speaking to us because it was written down and being put in a book called the Bible. And so... the reason why they're out of tune is because they are totally wrapped up in their own lives. They've got their life and what's going on, and they're out of tune with him, or they're out of tune with anything except their own lives. Well, now, can that be in this generation? Could that be us? Could that be a warning from the Lord to us? It is the result of not being in tune, because he is wanting us to be with him. He's wanting us to be with him and to be in tune with him. Okay, so verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out, okay, and I wrote a little marginal thing here, the judgment is not about gasoline emissions, global warming, etc. It's about how we are related or not related to the living God. Okay, so the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And I have pointed out that, you know, he didn't, with all of Abraham's wine dangling, as we say in Texas, it didn't matter. God moved on behalf of Abraham. And, you know, I would say this. If you're not in tune with the Lord, if you're not just, you know, I was sitting there doing something and my wife was standing there helping me with it. And I felt myself drifting again to the Lord, thinking about the Lord and the Word and what he's, you know, trying to listen to him and stuff. I didn't say anything to her, but I thought, you know, I spend a lot of time, and this isn't like bragging. This is just important that our hearts be there. I spend a lot of time thinking about the Lord and thinking about, you know, his heart, even his heart. And I can tell you, I came into this class deeply thinking about his heart in a certain way. And I, you know what? I'll just tell you the incident or whatever. Got ready to go to class tonight, and my wife comes to me and she says, "There's a dove in the tree in our backyard, right by our doorway, and he's fluttering around like he's hurt or something." And we have dogs and cats and stuff, so she was worried. And I couldn't see it because it was starting to get dark. And so I went and grabbed a Christmas present that I got that I could shine the light on, the best light I've ever seen except the face of Jesus. I'm telling you, that whole tree lit up and I could see him plain as day. And I could see that one of his wings was wounded. And I prayed for him. And as I was praying for him, I was thinking, you know, I mean, there's a wounded dove in my tree. And I'm going, well, my tree is the cross. And have I done anything? And so I've spent, since that moment till now, rather soberly, and maybe it has nothing to do with that, but I tell you what, I would rather have it spark me to pray the way I've been praying for him, and if there's anything in me that is wounding the Holy Spirit that I don't know about, I don't want to do that. And I don't just want forgiveness for doing it. I always pray, you know, Lord, don't just forgive me, but change me. And especially if I've wounded the Holy Spirit. And so I talk to the Father. Father, take care of him. Take, you know, if it's not me, if it's the church, if it's something you want me to say tonight, Lord, deal with us so that we're not so caught up in our life. I wasn't even thinking of these scriptures. I was just thinking of, you know, what is the potential? If this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now in relationship to the Holy Spirit, it has something to do with it, because it moved my heart to say, I genuinely could be totally ignorant of wounding the Holy Spirit, and he's in the tree, my tree, the cross. And so it sent me on a long line of prayers for him and for his heart, because he's like the lamb. I mean, they're both, you know, nonviolent, if you will, and innocent. Anyway, it just, so in my spirit, I'm still getting over that, not the circumstance, but if in any way that I have wounded him, because the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not. Don't grieve the dove. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's a wounding. And so I don't know. See, I really don't care about too much, but I care about the Lord. I care about, and I do, I care about the church. I care about the sheep. I care about what God cares about. But when it comes to those areas, it touches me so deeply that I can't stay up on my feet in the natural. I can, but in the spirit, it just breaks me down because it's so important. Not because, as in the days of Lot, you know, this could be coming right now and it's a warning and all that. That's fine. There's real truths and realities to that. But in my heart, there's an eternal one, you know, and he was way up in those limbs. And there's an eternal one. And it's funny because I got the big old light. We tried a cell phone light, and you couldn't hardly, I could just barely make him out. I got that big old light, and it's like, is this big old light the Father going, look, he's wounded, you know? And again, or he could say, I'm using this as an example. Well, you know, it's never just forgive me. I mean, I always have to add, I'm sorry. If that was the case, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that to you. And you know what? These are parts and of being in a relationship with someone. You know, with really being in a relationship with someone, with caring about their heart, with caring. You know. Every one of us have done that with someone that we really care about, and then they seem to be distant or whatever, or hurt or something. We go, did I hurt you? I mean, we care, but we're in a relationship with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. And I said, Father, heal the wound in him, whether it was me or anyone else, and let him fly carrying the word of God like Noah's dove. Let him fly and go bring back proofs of the new creation that we see so little of. And let him fly, because if he does, that's when he's happy. That's when he's in his element, to be able to just fly and bring us the realities of the Father and of the Son. So, you know, that may sound like stupidity or something, or dumbness to some people, but I want, and I know you do too, but I want so deeply the Spirit of God to never have to deal with woundings in a relationship with me. And then I really hate it if I think, and I didn't even know it, you know. So anyway, I was saying that in relationship to even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so verse 31 there in Luke 17. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. Did y'all know that they used the word stuff back then? It's King James. I mean, this is the King James Bible. Anyway. Stuff in the house, and let him come down, let him not come down to take it away. Okay, so this is building a picture here, and I think it's a strong picture, because this could be applicable not to a warning about, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah is fixing to be destroyed big time, or your time right now is coming, and there's going to be destruction big time. But to wake us up to how focused we are in our lives and how out of tune that makes us, because it's not supposed to be our life. And that's, you know, and doctrinally we know that. But a doctrine will never, it has no power. It'll never change you. Only the truth as it is in Jesus, within that doctrine, you know. That's like taking a seed, and it's got a husk in which the germ is what it's called on the inside of it. And, you know, the husk, you know, you can put it in the ground. It dies. It melts away. But the inside, what's called the germ, that's where the life is. Well, we can carry around truths in our little husk and in our doctrines and think that because we know, oh, well, let me see what I got here. And we lay a table out and we go, okay, and shove the doctrine of Christ in you, and we shove being in Christ, and we shove crucified with Christ. But what if we're never crucified with Christ? What if it's not really Christ that's living in me? It's me living with his servantship, if you will, servanthood, trying to guide us. He can't. I was even reading about that in John 15. And, you know, I know you're all familiar with John 15, but wow, John 15, you know, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and without me, you can do nothing. And I'm thinking that he is literally saying that if there is that branch that's broken off or whatever, that is withered, that he breaks off and puts in the fire, it's because there was no life in it. There might have been our life in it, but there was not his life. It wasn't his life. So was it attached to the vine? Yes. Did it allow the life that is in the vine, that fills the vine, to shoot out into the branches? And if it did over here, there's a certain kind of fruit it's going to bring forth. And if it didn't, it's going to wither. Okay, wither how? During the day or during my lifetime? It's just going to, it withers before the Lord. It withers before the husbandman. It withers before the vine. It does not have vine life that's living, not just, you know, making decisions. Well, Jesus, make decisions for me, you know. He didn't come to be a decision maker, you know. He came to live, and by doing that, there would be an understanding of, well, not my will, but thine be done, or whatever. And there would be an understanding that I'm in a relationship with the one who's on the inside of me, and he's my life, you know. Well, I mean, we stand before God and we say, well, Jesus was my life, and he'll go, no, he wasn't. You know, well, you know, you don't want to hear that then. Amen. So, there are similarities with John 15 and the vine and the branches and what's going on here, because they are living their own life. They're caught up in it. So let me go back so make sure that you can see that. Verse 28 is, likewise also, it was in the days of Lot that they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Okay. But they're totally involved with their own life, okay? And then, but the same day, Lot went out of Sodom. It rained and fire and brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed them all. Okay, so, and then verse 30, even thus shall it be, you know, it's going to happen again. That's what he says. Even thus shall it be. Okay, well, we don't know because it's not based on a particular time period. It's based on, and one of the things I was going to say to you is for Sodom and Gomorrah, it says they all were destroyed and destroyed them all. There wasn't 10 righteous. There wasn't 5 righteous. Lot wasn't righteous, but, and here's what I was going to say, but Lot had somebody who was. Lot had somebody who knew the Lord. He did. He had somebody who knew the Lord. And so Abraham talked to God, and God figured out his heart, because if he stuck with his program of, well, if there's, 50, well, how about 40? Okay, 30, how about 5? How about 2? How about, any little tiny people or anything like that? I don't know, you're reaching, buddy. God didn't even go with that. He saw his heart and he said, okay, well, I don't know. I can't explain all that theologically, but I would say before the destruction came, it might be a good idea to be in tune. if you're not in tune, be in tune with somebody that is. Okay, well. All the people that's here in the building are going, I'm pretty good myself. No, they're not. Just kidding. Okay. So I'm following up now on how Jesus is spelling out the things that include you in the judgment. And what that is so far he's been spelling out was not, he's not even spelling out the righteous and unrighteous like Abraham was trying to do. He's spelling out those who are either focused in on their life, and vine life is not really much of a thing to them. They're not living as a branch. They're living as a Christian, following Christian principles. Do I go to church? Yep. Do I pray? Yep. Do I read my Bible? Yep. And, and some who may listen to this video later are going, I don't even do that. But this is what he's calling for. So that brings us to verse 31. In that day, he which shall be, because he's talking about even thus shall it be to another day. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetops and his stuff in the house. Anybody seeing the connection here? The stuff in the house. Let him not come down to take it away. Okay. There's a lot of ways of looking at this. You could say, well, he said, don't come down to take it away because the destruction's going to hit before you get even rent the U-Haul. I don't think that's it. There are other ways of looking at that. But Jesus is spelling out his meanings. And he's saying, let not him come down to take it away. All right. And then he says, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back to go get whatever his stuff is. And then the next words are, remember Lot's wife. You remember her, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You remember her. Yeah. I wrote, so what is this saying that caused Lot's wife to turn to a pillar of salt? Okay, next verse. Ready? Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. So I wrote, don't seek to save when he has slated it for death. And then the rest of the verse, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Okay, so basically he's saying if your life is your 9 to 5 and your home and your car and your this, and that's where your, you know, 90% of your focus is most of the time, and Jesus is extraneous to that, and but you bring him in, you know, from time to time or whatever. Well, I go to church, and and that's not necessarily bringing Jesus into anything. That's following Christianity instead of being a branch. Big difference of lifestyle. Big difference. Then he's saying, so if you're, you know, what is it, on the house, out in the house, or you're, upon the housetop, don't go down and try to get your stuff out of the house. All right. And here's what he's saying. If you seek to save your life, you're going to end up losing it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, then you'll gain what you need. All right? So, and I know, everyone's so concerned with the COVID pandemic and with the, climate change and rightly so on a lot of fronts. But instead of being all afraid of that, I mean, that'll drive you gray-headed. Wait a minute. I'm gray-headed. But if your heart is with the Lord, the circumstances, I'm not just saying that. If your heart is with the Lord, the circumstances are hardly anything. I mean, if he knows what you need and he thinks right now a broken foot is what you need, and you think, oh no, if I have a broken foot, I have to lay in bed and be with the Lord and read the word, or maybe you think, oh yay, or oh no, I have to lay in bed and be online the whole time and watch TV and, you know, Netflix and all this kind of stuff, or I can't believe God allowed this to happen. This is messing with my finances and this is going to throw me. See, that's just totally unaware that you're joined with him and that you have an Adonai. Just totally, or put it in maybe even another context, you have a father. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to have to go through that. You're supposed to be with him. He didn't dictate that part. That's up to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley. It sounds like David was kind of in tune with the Lord, doesn't it? Wow. So the following words of, remember, Lot's wife are, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So I wrote, the days prior to destruction, what are they doing? They are tending to their own lives. The same thing will be happening in our time. Okay, tending to our own lives is verse 28. The same thing that will happen in our time, verse 30, if we see the storm coming, then don't come down to save your stuff. But that's what they will do. What are these what are they called? End time preppers or something like that? Ever heard? There's, you know, they've got holes dug into the ground and in the mountains, and they got what?
Survivalists,
yeah, and they got guns, and they got, you know, everything that you're going to need. You got everything there, you know, poor everybody else. You know, there are people with bigger guns that want what you want. You got. You got food. You got medical supply. You know, they're going to be hunting you. You know, they go to my house and go, let's keep, okay, going. But, you know, and well, the funny thing was, is that, you know, I was flipping through one day and that came up, and that I started watching going, okay. And, you know, my first thought was what I just said, because first of all, you're telling us what all you've got, you know, that's like, one of the Kardashians was in Paris, and she was having selfies of herself wearing diamonds and all this stuff, and going to be in, go down to Cannes, you know, film festival in the south of France, and what hotel they're at and everything. A bunch of guys came in there and stole all of her stuff. And the police said, "You idiot, don't advertise like that," you know? And so that's what I was thinking with these survivalists is, you know, they're doing all that, and then they're advertising about it, and then, you know, people are going to go, not only do you have good stuff, but I've got your address.
Yeah.
And I mean, it didn't give them the exact address, but it told them what state they were in and what their names were. I'm going, anybody ever heard of Google? Anyway, you know, I have a different kind of mindset or whatever, so I, you know, maybe you don't think like I do, and that's probably a blessing to you, praise God, but, you know, still got a little Oak Cliff left in me. All right, so I just read that part that said, the days prior to destruction, what were they doing? They are tending to their own lives. The same thing will be happening in our time. If we see the storm coming, then don't come down to save your stuff. And use the word stuff. So we all know what stuff is. Okay? You know, it's your stuff. But that's what they do. That's what they're going to do. Okay? So the same for working in the field, but returning. So what's the point of that statement? What's the point of Jesus making that statement about, you know, don't come down and don't do this and that, and remember Lot's wife? What's the point of that? It is to get our minds off the focus of this judgment being about the people of Sodom with all their evil works, and realize that a person meant for not being a part of that judgment ended up being included in it. Lot's wife. I can. I will read it again. So Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, don't come down, da 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 da. What's the point of that statement? We've got transcribers. Scribers. Scribes. Scriblets. It is to get our minds off of Randy's weirdness. I'm sorry. It is to get our minds off the focus of this judgment being about the people of Sodom with all their evil works, and to realize that a person meant for not being a part of the judgment ended up being included in the judgment. Remember Lot's wife? See? Jesus didn't say, remember the farmers, what they did, you know, out in the field. He said, remember Lot's wife. That's his point. He's talking to those that, you know. And, you know, I mean, that's, I mean, it's pretty serious if you think about it, because the whole family was being saved because of Abraham's relationship with God, but you cross God, and guess what? Anyway, so let me read a couple of scriptures here. I don't know how far I can go. But it has to do with, let me just say, watch what you're thinking. Watch how you think. Watch out that you're not, you know you're not of the ones who are going to be destroyed, but your thinking is still about your stuff, like Lot's wife. Okay? So that's what got her. You know, I mean, thank God the rest of them didn't die, I guess. But anyway, just kidding. All right. So how, you know, thinking. What are we thinking? This is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 and 12. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Remember Lot's wife. It's a simple thing. You know, someone could say, Randy, why are you sharing these things? You scare me. I'm just reading the Bible, really. But I'm also doing another thing. I'm just trying to encourage us to let Christ live in us more. Let it be more of a relationship that is, you know, I mean, ongoing. That Christ is thought of, that the Holy Spirit is not wounded because we grieved him, because we never ask him, or we never come to him, or we never even think about him during the week or whatever. And we think about the Father because he's the Father. So the Father has the power and da 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 da. So Father, do this, instead of thinking you want to glorify your Son and you want him formed in us. And I'm with you, Father. See, this could be said at any time. This is apropos for all generations at any time within those generations. All right, let's try another one. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 5. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity, or love, envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. If any man thinketh that he stand, Lot's wife, we don't know your name, let him take heed lest he fall. Okay? Love is not easily provoked and doesn't think evil. And the evil here is that you're putting yourself first. Evil doers are putting themselves first, and their wounds or their whatever, their upset or their thing, and that's why they attack lambs. Okay. One more scripture. Philippians 3, verse 3 through 5. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Well, there's some good stuff right there. Now, I mean, that's not it. I'm going to read some more on that. But worship God in the Spirit. We say, oh, yes, every time we have praise and worship, I worship Him in spirit. You think a praise and worship service is what that's all about? No, it's a true honor, oh my God, to the one who opens our heart and opens our eyes to see Jesus as He is so that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth, who brought that up at the woman at the well. Jesus did. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. Okay. That's what we should be reaching for. Not, well, there's three areas in my life I have no confidence in my flesh. You know. Never mind. If any man, this is the middle part of verse 4, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. So I'll just read my little notes here. So where did all this trouble with Lot, Abraham, and God come from? In relationship to God, it started when Lot chose the best, not the lowest. Y'all remember that? All the way back in chapter 13, was it? 12? Yeah, it's either 12 or 13, Genesis 12 or 13. I think it's 13. But anyway, you can bet that prior to that, the strife that was going on between them had to do with fighting over trying to get the best and the most. In other words, Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were fighting because I surmise that the same spirit that worked in Lot worked in them. And they were fighting over my sheep getting the best, okay? The best land and everything. Is it possible for God to put an actual lamb in a place, and if he wants to bless that lamb, he'll find a way to, you know, there'll be roots under the ground or da-da-da-da or anything like that? I mean, you see kind of a picture of that with Jacob when he was in Haran there with Laban. And then Jesus said in verse 33 of Luke 17 that if your primary default right now is toward your life in this earth and its things, then that's what it will be in the day. It will rain fire and brimstone from heaven and destroy them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So you can say that. It's okay to say that. If your primary default is yourself and everything, and he's saying don't do that, and then that day come, you can pretty much assume that that's what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, what Jesus is talking about happened there and whatever else, that God's not going to change his heart. He's not going to change why he created this earth. He didn't create an earth to make everybody just happy and, you know, that's what a lot of Christianity thinks that it's about. No, he created it to be inhabited. That's in Isaiah. He created it so that we are from the dust of the earth, the dirt, and that we were created to be inhabited by the Lamb, by Christ in us. And he will provide for us. We don't have to worry, but if it's your things, then you're going to worry without nobody can talk you out of it. If it's his things, And he'll take care of, because you're also one of his possessions. You're one of his children. You have Christ in you. You have every reason to be able to trust, regardless of what happens, if the earth shakes around you. But you have to be with him now, and then now, and then now, and then now, and now, and then you don't know when that's going to come, so you don't go, well, I think I'm going to put this off for like a month, and I'm just going to go, not now, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Father, we just ask you to open our eyes, not to the condemnation of these things, but they are in the Word. And Jesus, you were there in Genesis. You were one of the three that Abraham talked to, and you knew this firsthand. And then, Jesus, you came to this earth, and you chose to bring that up. Of all the stories that you could have brought up out of the Old Testament to talk about, you brought up Lot, and you brought up that situation. And so it's important to you. And whether it's important to us or not is not the issue, because we're not about ourselves. We're about you, and we want to hear you. And if you say something and we don't understand it, we don't want to run off and say, I don't want to hear that, and stick our heads in the ground. We want to say, Lord, speak to us. Part the sea of our heart and come walking through it into our lives in a greater way. Father, let Jesus be more glorified in these earthen vessels. Father, let the Spirit of God, if he's been wounded by us, Father, may we take that to heart. May it cause us to be broken over it and hurt that we hurt him, and to care, Father. And so, Father, we just cry out to you, not for fear of circumstances, but for lack of what we should already have attained to, and we want more of Jesus and less of us. He must increase. He must, and we must decrease. Regardless of the times, regardless of any crisis that may be coming or not coming, he must increase, and we must decrease. And so we pray that from our hearts. We know you here, Father. We know that you will do your part to move. May we yield and come more in tune with what you're trying to say to us in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.